Hi, welcome to another episode of the Angaza Awards podcast brought to you by the Kenyan Wall Street. My name is Ali Mwakaneno Gakweli, and I'll be your host for today's podcast. So joining me today all the way from Zambia is Mutomboi Mundia, who is the Director, Market Supervision and Development at the Securities and Exchange Commission in Zambia. And she also happens to be one of the judges of the Angaza Awards. And we want to talk about her journey to becoming a director at the SEC and some of the initiatives that she has on the commission, and later swing by to the main agenda of Angaza Awards, of course, which is highlighting the achievements of women in Africa and how her role pushes that agenda forward and what essentially drove her to participate as one of the judges of the Angaza Awards. Welcome to the podcast, Mutomboi.
Thank you, Ali. Very pleased to be here.
We're happy to have you here too. So tell us about your role and function at the SEC.
Well, perhaps I can basically say my role is one of transforming the SEC itself, as well as broadly beyond the SEC, the Zambian capital markets. So I head a directorate that has a dual function, broadly speaking. We are responsible for market supervision and development, on the other hand. So I basically offer leadership to teams that pursue these two mandates. Our role, or my role at the commission, involves running with a number of transformational projects. And we are currently doing several of those projects as an institution, and they stretch from putting in place the right frameworks to be able to supervise the Zambian capital markets effectively, to putting in place frameworks of introducing new products so that, you know, we have a wide product range of instruments that are offered within the Zambian capital markets. But central to that is we are constantly having to innovate and to think through on what is concise or what is appropriate for the Zambian capital markets. We aim to put in place an enabling framework for introduction of customer-centric products that work for the Zambian context. And that in itself is quite a task that we have at hand, but so far, so good.
Thank you so much, Mutomboi. Maybe before we actually get into the flesh of some of the frameworks that you're setting in place at the SEC, I'd love to understand your career journey. What was the build-up to heading the directorate?
So I joined the Securities and Exchange Commission here in Zambia in 2013. And I must state that I joined in the position itself. So it was a newly created position. The board at the time had made a decision that they needed to reorganize the institution, and they created this new directorate that would run with two broad functions of the commission, which are market supervision and market development. I do know, obviously, from interacting subsequently with the board, that they had decided to look for professionals who would drive the Zambian capital markets to its next level of progression. And so basically, they were looking for resources with industry expertise. And when I say industry expertise, it wasn't necessarily that they were looking for capital markets experts in that sense, because the Zambian capital markets is still pretty much underdeveloped, and even at the time was very small, with very few people having the specific experience in the Zambian capital markets. So they were just looking for very strong and diversified sort of CVs. And my CV met the desired criteria. My background, having been in the energy sector when I started out as the trainee accountant, and then later moved on to work for the regulatory body. And actually, I worked with the Energy Regulation Board of Zambia at the time when basically they were setting up. So I was part of that process of establishing a regulatory body, which was really, really very exposing. And after that, I went on to set up microfinance after I did some further studies. Again, very, very exposing experience. The microfinance industry was just beginning to set stage in Zambia. And at the time, the central bank was had just basically put in place a framework of, regulating and registering microfinances. So I was part of the putting together of one of those medium-sized microfinances. And I worked as their first CFO before taking on a job with PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I must emphasize that it was actually within PricewaterhouseCoopers where I think my full skill sets were put to the test, and had to acquire new skill sets, which skill sets I believe put me in very good stead for my current role. So at PricewaterhouseCoopers, I was part of the advisory practice team, and our main focus was basically working with distressed institutions. So we would manage institutions that have been placed under receivership, so we'd be the receiver manager of those institutions. We had a few that were in liquidation. Our other offerings included turnaround exercises and due diligences. So when you look at that sort of work, or if you've done recoveries work, it's very demanding in the sense that you have to learn a business very, very quickly and get your hands into things very, very fast in terms of making the decision as well, whether you're going to manage the business or basically you're going to take it straight to market so that you can recover the monies on behalf of your appointers. Now doing that sort of work within a practice that prides itself in a certain stature of we are accountants and we do books, we do audits, we do taxation, and we come to your offices in suits was quite an interesting phase for me, because the other colleagues in the other lines of service, being tax and assurance, would look at us very funnily in our gear, ready to go into the firms. It so happens that most of the companies that we were working with were in the agriculture sector, in the farming sector, and would have to gear up with our gumboots to really go and work in those spaces as receivers. But what we didn't realize is we were learning so much in terms of the challenges that companies go through. And basically by the time we were called on, that challenge had zeroed into a financial challenge, hence the distress. And so I learned so much in terms of just the whole general management of a business. And I must also give credit to that experience in the sense that it took me to a number of sectors in addition to the agriculture sector. So by the time I was getting to the Securities and Exchange Commission to head and in fact to put in place the systems and the processes of this new directorate, which had such a broad mandate, I was going with a wealth of experience from various sectors, like I've mentioned, from the energy sector, from the microfin background, so banking, and then with PwC, that really, really took me to various sectors, from the councils, working with the councils, working with different types of agricultural enterprises, so I'm in coffee, some doing wheat, some doing maize. So basically that's the background to finding myself at the SEC in the current position that I hold as Director Market Supervision and Development.
Before we bounce back to your position at the SEC, there's something interesting that I've noticed in your career progression, which is, as you mentioned, the multi-sectorial experience that you've acquired from your time at the Energy Regulation Board, PricewaterhouseCoopers, finally to the SEC. And before this interview, I was trying to read about you and understand you better. And one of the things that caught my mind was your participation in the Anakazi Arise Conference, last year, which sort of seeks to empower women socially and economically by developing the global business development networks. Maybe just from your career, again, in different sectors and different companies, what are some of the lessons that you'd pick up that could benefit women that aspire to rise to the scales that you have?
So yeah, when I was approached by the organizers, I was firstly humbled that they looked this direction, more so that they crossed the borders. But like you rightly said earlier, we are Pan-Africanists, so you know, we must do things like this where we look for resources beyond our borders. I think one of the things that I would love to highlight in view of the question is the need for women to first and foremost come to terms and acceptance of who we are as women. There's so many times when I hear sometimes worryingly so, women trying to compare themselves with men in a very sort of unhealthy context. So maybe my emphasis is we must accept that we are very special, we're a very special creation that was gifted with the ability of multitasking, multi-skilling. It's in our nature. We were designed to do various taxing things at the same time. And there's no debates or there's no comparison. We've got different strengths from the male folks, but we've got beautiful strength that is within us. And it's that nature that makes us a very fungible resource. What I would encourage women who aspire to be influential in their position is that they must firstly look inward, examine what their current strengths are, what their current interests are, and exploit that to apply it in terms of reaching to the goals that they seek to reach. And I would also maybe emphasize that we women aspire to put goals that are not always me-centered or that are not media capture-centered, but goals that are community-centered and that allow you to contribute meaningfully to humanity. I think for me, those have been the principles, those have been the values. And that's how I simply put it, that when we are given an opportunity to serve, or when we're looking for an opportunity to serve, it must be for the good of the community we're in and for us to leave these footprints that demonstrate that we were bigger than ourselves and we looked at life on a communal note as opposed to what's in it for me. And I think that's what makes a difference between good leaders and perhaps also makes a difference between female leaders and male leaders.
Mutomboi, back to your role at the capital markets, or rather at the SEC. Something that you mentioned earlier in the preparatory call before this podcast was the need to develop the Zambian capital markets, which I think is applicable to many other African capital markets. And there's the dual nature of your role here in terms of spearheading development on one side and supervision on the other side. Trying to bridge that with what we're discussing here, which is the Angaza Awards, which hinges on women empowerment specifically by making sure that we have women on boards. What are some of the ways you're pushing for sustainability and equality as forefront agenda when developing frameworks for the capital markets in Zambia?
Yeah, so thank you for that question. And you raised very two important areas of my work, sustainability and gender. Firstly, in my department, I am very emphatic about having gender equality and balancing that. So we have a very healthy mix of women and males, and together we do wonders. We are now actually pursuing a project with partners based in Canada, where we are needing to enhance the way we collect information from the players we regulate, so that, you know, we can really be able to sex disaggregate this data. And we've recognized the need to disaggregating this data as very key, because data is the basis of policies, and it is policies that bring about the desired result in terms of empowering women. So we are putting in place a framework and also systems that will enable us to see what is pertaining in the Zambian capital markets on the front of gender, with the view that we put in place the right framework and policies of ensuring that we have a capital market that designs products that are targeted to the female folk, who we currently are aware is underrepresented in terms of participating in the capital markets. It's a very exciting project that we're doing, and I personally am looking forward to what that exercise points to and what the Zambian capital markets looks like once we bring on board women, once we demystify the notion that capital markets is a macho thing or is best understood by males. For one reason or the other, it seems to be the impression from the initial work. And on the second issue of sustainability, I'm actually very, very passionate about that. And I must mention that prior to my engagement with Swedish Institute for Management Programs, I basically was carrying my duties within the commission and carrying my life without really paying attention to this discourse of sustainability and greening our economy. In 2018, I had the opportunity, the rare opportunity, to be part and parcel of a cohort for the Swedish Institute Management Program. I've never been the same person. I was so sold out to the concept of being conscious about how you firstly live and then how you can influence in your current role. So the same program is offered by the Swedish Institute, and it's basically their way of raising awareness and sensitization around sustainability and basically the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So they take you through a process of, teaching you about the SDGs. And I will be honest, even something that sounds so topical, you will not believe how we can be so busy in our little worlds as finance experts and not be part, or in fact, not be aware of something like the Sustainable Development Goals that you think everyone is aware of. And that was me in 2018. I was very busy trying to transform the market, as I've shared with you, but not in a sustainable way. So since that program, we've been able to do interesting things in the Zambian space. I led a team that developed a green bonds framework. And basically with that framework, it makes it possible for an institution, for a business in Zambia, to raise green, what we call green finance. So they are able to come to the capital markets or to the stock exchange and issue a green bond, which then attracts funds that are basically looking to invest only in green investable projects. So that was put in place in 2019. And we are currently still pursuing the agenda of greening our economy. Now, if you've been following news about Zambia, we recently went to the polls, and we now have a new government that's calling themselves the New Dawn Government. And they're very big very, very passionate about greening the Zambian economy. In fact, to the extent of establishing a new ministry that's literally called the Ministry of Green Economy and Environment. So that has aligned very well with what our focus has been in the green space. And we are looking forward to the right policies being put in place so that our framework plus the right policies can then spur the green economy that we are now aspiring for as a country. So I really, I am very, very passionate about greening. And I currently sit on a committee that is called the Green Core Team. And what we are doing there is basically going flat out and raising awareness to various businesses in terms of how they can operate themselves sustainably and how they can come to the Zambian capital markets to raise green finance. I also initiated a working group amongst the financial sector regulators in Zambia. It's a greening, mainstreaming green finance in the Zambian financial sector. So in the Zambian financial sector, you've got three regulators. So the SEC is the regulator for the capital markets. Then you've got the Bank of Zambia that regulates the banking sector. You've got a third regulator who are the Pensions and Insurance Authority, Sinova Pensions and Insurance. I know in Kenya, you probably have like five regulators within the financial sector. So now what we've done is the three of us now have this working group that is working together to put in place a reporting framework for the companies we regulate. The whole idea is just influencing at the levels we can for businesses to begin to take this agenda of sustainable development goals very seriously, adopt a sustainable development goal, but also report as part of your statutory reports what it is that you're doing in the space of green. There's a lot of other ideas that we have as part of this working group for financial sector regulators. And I can spend the whole day discussing ideas around green finance. I need to chip in one very important idea. Going forward, we're currently doing our strategic plan as a commission, and we have agreed in principle that we literally establish a unit that will specialize on registering green bonds and also overseeing the performance of issuers who have issued green bonds. The reason why we've justified a specialized unit is because we've decided that we're going to position Zambia as a green hub for investments in green projects. And so those are some of the things that are happening in this space in terms of sustainability on my end.
Mutomboi, I feel like there's still an opportunity here to address the crux of the matter, which is board representation. Maybe from a framework point of view, because from where you sit, you have a bird's eye view of representation of women in boards, especially in listed companies in Zambia. What has been your observation when it comes to, you know, representation in boards in Zambia? And maybe what are some of the recommendations in terms of policy you would make to improve that?
So yes, we had a couple of years done a count of what we were sitting with, and it wasn't pretty. And I think you now plant another seed in me to redo that exercise. It could have improved, but nothing that is striking. I'm just thinking off the cuff in terms of the financial report. And we're a small market. There's 23 listed entities. So, you know, I can quickly scan through. I do believe that this issue, I'm actually now derailing to think through how there's actually in Zambia a discourse on representation of in parliament as well. And there's just a major outcry that we could do better. So I look at this issue, and sometimes I like to put it back to ourselves as women in terms of our strategies. And I think we have a lot to do on that front, on how do we groom ourselves to position for these board positions. How do we leverage our networks? I'll be very honest that as women, yes, we have all these responsibilities in terms of family. And at some point, our focus is really far from aspiring for board positions, C-suite offices. But, you know, we need to learn a balancing act of sorts, or at least need to be strategic enough to be deliberate in terms of how we quickly position, you know, deserving women to be in the lineup and to literally make it for this position. So that's my take. My take is, yes, we can put policies in place, but if we don't have a pipeline of deserving women to be on the board, because being on the board is not just a matter of let's balance gender on the board. No, it's a matter of you being able to function and to contribute to bringing about best practices. My field, my master's was in corporate strategy and governance. So I am very, very emphatic about the aspect of governance and the aspect of strategy as well, which is a role and a mandate for boards. So you need to be competent to offer that leadership as a board member. It wouldn't be an issue of let's just balance our board so that we have females also represented. Fortunately enough, at the commission, we literally have it in the law where the minister is required to ensure that there is a balance in terms of how he does the appointments of who comes to the board. And currently in our commission, we are quite balanced on that front. But yeah, that's my submission is we can do more. Those of us that have pierced through should be deliberate enough to put in place programs that create this pipeline of well-enabled women that can make it to these positions. And this is not to say that we currently are very far from that sort of scenario or state of affairs. No, it's been strategic. And if you follow, my emphasis is being deliberate. So we've been shy as a fraternity in some instances. Some markets are ahead than other markets. Certainly, I think the Kenyan market is ahead than the Zambian market on this front. And so some of these things may basically apply more to other markets, the aspect of being strategic. Certainly for Zambia, there is real room for us to be strategic and network better and learn one or two things from the male folk.
You know, I'm happy you've talked about, allow me to call it improving the capacity, or rather grooming women to be board members, both in terms of the present and the future, which brings us to you know, the matter at hand, the Angaza Awards, a Pan-African Awards this year that seeks to identify, highlight, and celebrate the achievements of women in the different sectors of finance in corporate Africa. What do you think is the role of recognition in making sure that, you know what, the women out there that are doing exploits are actually seen and they're visible enough to be called for such positions?
Thank you. Recognition is important. You have to give honor to whoever deserves honor. Let me just say it that way. So yes, we must celebrate the women that are contributing to the welfare of humanity. We must take time to take stock and to clap for them. Because in my view, you are also recognizing the difficult position that women find themselves in terms of the demands from society. And so doing that is basically a way of how we motivate other women to see the possibilities and that they shouldn't look at their circumstances as a limitation, but get inspiration that you can do the odds, you can push yourselves to get to those higher levels, and that being a woman should not be a restriction of any kind. So I am very, very supportive of awarding and recognizing women that have made it.
Right, maybe as a judge of these awards, for the women that are interested in applying for the Angaza Awards, what are some of the words of advice that you'd give them in terms of how they can better package themselves to be recognized by these awards and by other awards in future? And maybe on the other hand, what are some of the things that you'll be looking out for?
So on the first hand, in terms of what they should do, they should not be apologetic. They should unreservedly position to be recognized and tell their story for what it is. And I'm saying this because I'm actually one of those people that have tended to be very busy to tell the stories of what it is that I'm doing. But it's important to do it, not because we are promoting pride or anything of that nature, but no, because we are wanting to account for what our contribution is to our economy. And also we are wanting to encourage another woman to do likewise and to work hard and you know, to contribute to the well-being of our economies. So in terms of what I'll be looking out for, I'll be looking out for influencers. I'll be looking out for go-getters. I'll be looking out for women that are not apologetic, as I've said, and they're ready to tell the story of what it is that they have done. I'll be looking out for ingenuity. I'm looking out for brevity. Women that have gone to areas perhaps that are less, parts that are less traveled. And basically, we're just looking for effort, to be honest, and needing to encourage a certain level of effort so that, you know, it sets as an inspiration for the younger women and even for the older women that are still juggling their lives and aspiring for some of those achievements.
Thank you so much. Mutumboi, as we wrap up the interview, maybe any last words of advice or something that we might have left out?
I can't think of anything, but maybe just for me to reiterate my thanks to the organizing team. It's as much as you are a judge and it looks like it's easier because you're basically ticking or you're the teacher that's kind of marking, which is an easier. It also has done something. It has reminded me of the need to be purposeful. It has also challenged me of the need to do the things that I'll be looking for in other women. And just being able to stocktake. So I'm very grateful that I was given this opportunity to participate in this. At the same time, it has exposed me to something that I've not done in my own market here. So I do know there's awards that are given for different things in the Zambian market. But I have not participated as a judge. So this for me is a first, and I'm grateful for that opportunity.